who cares? But if there's a property that would be worth having, either for ordinary development or for affordable housing development, people are reluctant to buy them because a lot of them have liens attached, and there's not a good process for pre-severing those lien attachments, and people don't want to buy the properties because of the liens that might be there. Do I have it right?
Yeah, you've got it pretty right. As you mentioned a second ago or on the clip, a lot of, we have a lot of properties that we call escheat. They escheat to the county, which is when folks don't pay their taxes and they come to the county. And when a lot of these properties go up for sale, go up for surplus, there are liens attached. And there is a process by which folks can request relief from the liens, and it happens at almost every board meeting that we have. And our policy is, we're gonna recoup the hard costs, which is if we have to go onto the property, abate the property, mow it, cut it, haul debris off of it, and make it, in compliance with our code, then we're gonna collect those hard costs. And then there are fines that assess to the property so much per day. And a lot of times the board will give some relief as far as the fines go, but the hard costs, we're going to recoup, and we're going to collect that.
So it seems
but
like...
But it is a process.
Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead, finish.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I've listened to these conversations a lot, and it's exactly as you say, of course, where the money that was basically actually spent by the county, you're going to have to get that come back. But other things that are sort of administrative surcharges, if you want to call them that, those can often be waived. Two questions about this, though. One is, I think what they're getting at is the problem of typically the person who comes to you to get that stuff waived off is somebody who already owns the property, who has bought it. And I think what they were saying is, boy, it sure would facilitate the purchase of these properties if we could find a way to pre-waive or to eliminate those ahead of sale so that this would, people would be interested and not have to take the chance of buying a property and then hoping that the commission waives them.
Yeah, I can understand that. I can. The one piece of advice I would give is do your homework when you buy these properties on the front end. But yeah, you're correct. It would be good to have a process to where we could relieve, if you will, whatever liens are there related to fines. Mm-hmm. Maybe not so much hard costs, but fines. And we have quite a few of these happen. We have over 300 lots in the county and about 125 lots in the city that we have to maintain. And so it would greatly benefit us to be able to surplus a number of these properties. And we also have infill housing, and affordable housing like they're speaking to. We just went on a contract with Habitat to do four houses over around the Baptist Hospital area with about four lots over there. So, yeah, absolutely, it would benefit the county from a maintenance standpoint to be able to surplus these properties.
Yeah, and the other part of it, too, is, the county wants to not be in the property-owning business. You don't want to own these vacant lots because, as you said, you got to maintain them. So the paradox of Catch-22 is you're owning these lots – you have to continually spend more to maintain them when what you really want to do is offload them to somebody else who's going to build something that's going to benefit the tax base and, of course, the people who are served by whatever gets built there. So if we could, if somehow or other we could move the properties into an easier to buy and less costly to buy from a risk standpoint, it seems like that would benefit everybody. So just, it had come up. I had not heard this conversation from the how could this process be changed perspective, and I thought it was interesting. I wanted to, kind of raise it to your attention. And by the way, I think the county was kind of involved in this yesterday, but I don't think the county is officially part of the advisory committee. But in any case, I thought this was interesting stuff, and I wanted to ask you about it. Something else that's come up recently, and I don't know how often this comes up, but you are the roads guy. That is your background. You're the roads guy. Davis and Olive has gone to, I don't know, it's had a mental breakdown. Like the traffic light there just doesn't want to be hit.
Yes.
It goes to flashing yellow, flashing red, flashing I don't know what, but Why is that happening? Is it being fixed? Is this at all related to the advanced traffic management system that Escambia County's operating? Just help me understand. And is that the only one, or are we seeing this more systemically?
That light right there, it is the wiring. It needs to be totally rewired. The wiring is old, and it's been spliced together so many times and put back together. Hurricane Sally didn't do it any favors either. But we are working right now. We actually have a plan. We're working with our contractor to effect a rewiring of that whole intersection.
Sure.
To rewire the light there, and when we get that done, probably within about 45 days, that should fix the whole issue there, Davis and Olive.
Okay.
But you're right. It does. It you know, some of the recent bad weather we've had, you know, strong winds come through, and it doesn't take much to put that light in a flash mode at the moment.
So when that happens, and you guys have to come in and do work to reset it, basically, is that something that requires you to get on location, or can you do it from the ATMS? I just don't know practically how it works. Are you subject to waiting for people to call and complain, or do you guys know when this happens right away?
They, especially right now, they're monitoring that light pretty regular.
Okay.
So we try to stay on top of it, and we put Ingram out there, our signalization contractor. And they do have to mobilize and go out there and get straightened out.
Physically flip some switches and do. Okay, fair enough. We're talking to Wes Moreno. He is the interim administrator for Escambia County. We had a little bit of good news this week with Escambia County Fire Rescue, which is that the Beulah Fire Station 2 over on West 9 Mile Road, which used to be only volunteer, is now daytime career staffed, right? From 7 to 4, 7 to 4:30, something like that?
It absolutely sure is, and since this week they've run four medical calls so far this week, and so they've been active, and we're happy about that. We're happy to have that crew there during the week out in Beulah, which, as everybody knows, has been an area that has just greatly exploded, if you will, from a development standpoint and subdivision. So it's good to have that crew there.
Absolutely. No, it's a good thing. I'm still a fan of the 24-hour coverage. I especially think that the overnight is when you see more of the action, especially for fires. But as you well know, medical calls during the day, and if you've got somebody staged there, minutes matter, seconds matter, so that's a good thing. Last question I have for you, Wes, and you may file this in the category of Andrew McKay is ridiculously naively optimistic, but I'm going to ask the question anyway. Recently, the board has approved a pay raise for the EMS. It has approved a pay raise for the ECFR, for Escambia County Fire Rescue. There's been a pay improvement for Department of Corrections, and there's been a pay improvement for the sheriff. Now, sheriff doesn't work for you, so I won't ask about them. But in these other three areas where we have seen enormous staffing challenges, as you and I well know and we talk about many times, have we yet seen even the beginning indicators that might be remedying, either through number of applications or any kind of signs that the pay raises are going to help work towards filling some of those holes and fixing staffing shortages?
Well, we really haven't been underway long enough in that regard. I mean, we're just kind of getting those things in place.
Okay.
We are, you know, in fire, for instance, we're taking off on a campaign because we raised the income and salary by $10,000, so that was great. And so we've really not been at it post-raise, if you will, long enough to be able to gauge that. I will say that I think our retainment has improved. I don't think we've lost as many, but
well, that's something.
We'll have to go a little bit further before we can see the fruits of our labor there as raising those incoming salaries. And I also, on the next board meeting, will be the second half of our recruitment incentive, the $2,000. So we'll be going out and we'll be enacting that. And then on the 15th, I have the operational unit. And so I think we'll see progress moving forward, being able to recruit people. But I think actually our retainment has gotten a little bit better, and I think we got to go just a little bit more down the road before we can turn around and do an assessment and gauge our success. But
okay.
I'm optimistic about it. I really am. It's something that's been needing to be done, and so we've got it. You know, we've got a portion of it accomplished, and I'm looking forward to accomplishing the rest of it.
Hey, real quick, who was the $2,000 for? Who is eligible for that bonus?
It's mainly going to be your entry level. You know, more firefighters, EMTs, paramedics. It's going to be your equipment operator twos at your parks folks, your facilities workers.
Corrections?
It's mainly going to be your corrections, absolutely, corrections.
Okay. All right. Well, great. That's what I was curious about. I didn't know if it was just first responders or not.
It's going to be those positions which we are struggling to attract applicants.
Okay. Well, that's good news. I didn't know that we were considering that. So that's good news. Wes Moreno, he is the interim Escambia County Administrator. Wes, as always, thanks for the time, sir. It's a difficult thing to run the county, and I appreciate that you do it, sir.
All right. Thank you, Andrew.